Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We are broadcasting live from the Duncan at 1519 West Madison Street. Chicago runs on Duncan. And let's get out to our guy. Mr. Brad Biggs is the football man from the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, this is it, buddy. This is weakness on weakness. The Bears, offense against that wretched defense of the Lions.
Wretched it is.
Weakness on weakness.
And that's what's a little surprising, because Detroit played decent defense probably through the first month of the season. And certainly that was a focus of Bob Quinn, the general manager, and Matt Patricia, the head coach, during the offseason, was upgrading that side of the ball for them. They went out and they paid Trey Flowers, the Super Bowl champion defensive end from the Patriots, $90 million over 5 years. And the hope was that they were going to take a pretty big step forward, and it just hasn't come to fruition. They've got Flowers. He's got 4 sacks. They've got 14 as a team, and that ties for 26th or 27th in the NFL, so they're not putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and certainly we know that gave Mitch Trubisky fits last Sunday in Philadelphia, the pressure. So you're right. It is weakness on weakness Sunday afternoon along the lakefront.
Brad, Dustin and I got into it a little bit earlier about Matthew Stafford. I think that he comes in as the NFL's leading passer, 312 yards per game, 13 touchdown passes to the Marvin Jones and Galladay, dynamic receiving core. Are you a believer in Matthew Stafford, and why should the Bears fear him?
Yeah, I think Stafford's one of the second-tier quarterbacks in the National Football League. You talk about your top-tier guys, and there's only a couple of them. Well, to me, I think Stafford belongs
top 10
in that next level. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, durability. He checks all – I think he's played close to 140 consecutive games. Yeah, he's a good player. Now, you're talking about a quarterback who throughout – nearly his entire career hasn't had much of a defense to go along with him, but you've seen him get better. And he's definitely better with Darrell Bevell at offensive coordinator. I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday, how the yards per attempt have gone way up for Stafford this season, and that's challenging opposing defenses. That's putting pressure on him. This isn't captain checkdown. You know, he's throwing the football. You can't really compare it to Trubisky, because Trubisky's so low he's almost off the chart, but he's 3 yards better per attempt than Mitch Trubisky right now.
Wow.
Not completion, attempt.
When we look at the two head coaches in this game, it's richly ironic that a lot of people keep asking Matt Nagy, why doesn't he give up play calling duties? Shouldn't he give up play calling duties? And then the question to
to Matt Patricia is, why don't you take over play calling duties of your defense? Both guys have a specialty, offense for Nagy, defense for Patricia, but Nagy wants to continue calling plays with that offense, and Patricia says, I'm a head coach and I want to call plays on every level.
Yeah, and Patricia's going to have to he's going to have to get going. You know, there were some people who wondered briefly at the end of last season if he could be one and done in Detroit, and that wasn't the case, and he's got a relationship with the GM, Bob Quinn, from their days together in New England. But I think the people who are supporting him right now are saying, hey, there are real signs of improvement when you talk about a narrow loss at home to the Chiefs. They had a kind of a crazy game and a loss at Green Bay by 1 point. They lose as Stafford throws an incomplete pass at the goal line by a touchdown out in Oakland last week. So 3-4-1, a record that if Detroit could close things out and sort of get that edge that good teams need to have during a season, that record would look considerably different. And you know, of course, going to Arizona and coming away with a tie in the season opener, that was a bit of a bizarre game, and you really shouldn't excuse them not going out there and getting a victory. So this is a team that could very easily be 5-3 or 6-2 right now, had it taken care of a couple key moments in just a few games.
Our conversation with Brad Biggs on this Bears Friday is brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin', and that's where we are, 1519 West Madison. And Brad, when you look at Sunday, it's going to be cold. Winter has arrived a little bit early, but it's going to be cold. And for a team struggling to score points, I do wonder about Eddie Pinheiro in these conditions. I don't know that he's kicked a lot of doesn't have a lot of experience in sub-40-degree temperatures. What do you expect, and how prepared are the Bears?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know exactly what to expect because I haven't seen him do it before. I do know that Eddie got down to Soldier Field to work out there already one day earlier this week. So they're being as proactive as they possibly can in terms of preparing him for what he might face. I know that when they do practice at House Hall, which is the vast majority of the time, this time of year, you can walk outside there and the winds are just whipping. Same winds you're going to have at Soldier Field? Probably not, but it's practice nonetheless that comes in conditions that aren't great for kicking. So that's going to be the challenge. And Chris Tabor, the special teams coordinator, talked about it a little yesterday. He said, you know, the ball's not going to travel as far. That's if you're named Eddie Pinheiro or Morton Anderson. And it's going to feel a little bit different coming off your foot. You know, the ball feels heavy coming off your foot when it's
– Can they sign him?
When it's very cold out. Yeah. And Pinheiro's been all right, you know. All 12 right, of 15 right. with the field goals. So something to watch because the point you made, they're struggling to score points. And if their kicker – all of a sudden becomes inconsistent, that's going to be a big, big problem for the Bears.
I was honestly surprised that the Mitch Trubisky turn off the TV story became a national story. I just don't get what was so controversial about it. But, you know, it was everywhere. And then the coach came out and he hadn't seen it, which which was peculiar to me. What was your take on the whole nonsense?
Yeah, I thought there was more behind that story than really needed to be there. As I said, it doesn't even compare to the Cade McNown stay at home and boo your televisions comment. So, yeah. I don't think that there's much there. But when you have a quarterback in Chicago, big media market, who's statistically rock bottom in the National Football League, That's gonna draw attention out there. When the coach has to be asked about the status of the starting quarterback 3 consecutive weeks, and then the quarterback says something that, you know, can be easily twisted out of context, I can see how it's gonna get a lot of headlines. That Nagy hadn't seen it, I don't know. I don't think it was that big of a deal. So I don't think the coach needed to go
and check it out. He's obviously got much bigger issues to try to correct inside the building right now than worrying about how his quarterback's doing at the podium, which Mitch has been fine there. And what Mitch does at the podium, as I said, doesn't matter. The only thing, what comes out of his mouth doesn't matter. It's about the performance during games that matters, and he's at a critical juncture if he wants to have any shot of a future with the Chicago Bears moving forward.
And one of those issues that Matt Nagy was asked about was the offensive line. He did not provide an answer that he wanted to reveal anything because of strategy, even though it does seem likely, Brad, that Cody Whitehair will be at center and James Daniels will be at guard. And that the last time they were in those positions, things were working a little bit better than they have been recently. What do you expect there on Sunday against the defensive line with the Lions that, you know, is you can move a little bit?
Yeah, the Lions, they ought to be able to score some points on the Lions on Sunday. Yeah. They really should. I would hope that with a couple days of practice, Cody Whitehair can get back up to speed at the center position and get comfortable. Well, everyone, I think, probably recalls that during preseason last summer and early in the season, he had some issues with shotgun snaps, and he actually altered the technique that he used getting the ball back to Mitch from the shotgun. So if he can sort of pick up where he left off, be making the calls, maybe we see some improvement. It seems like they're bound to try just about anything, but I don't personally believe that the Whitehair Daniels switch or a return to where they played a year ago is really going to magically open things up on this offense for the Bears.
All right, here comes the crucial moment. Who have you taken, and what will the score be,
and why?
Yeah, Mitch had two really good games a year ago. Guys, one of them was against the Buccaneers. The other was against the Lions. Both of them were home at Soldier Field. As we've talked about, the Lions' defense is really struggling again, and they've given up some big point totals in some recent games. Minnesota hung, I believe, 42 on them. But I picked the Lions to win the game. I think there's such a vast difference in the quarterback play. I believe the Bears can win this game, especially if they can get a takeaway or two from Matthew Stafford. But I picked Lions 23, Bears 17, guys.
Wow. Wow, you got them scoring 17 against that defense. That'd be a long day. Five in a row then.
You only have the Lions scoring 23 against that defense? Hey. Well, here's the thing.
I get it, though.
I don't know where you're supposed to have faith in the Bears.
It's blind
based
faith.
Based on what? Yeah. Exactly. Based
yeah.
on hope.
Right, yeah. It's the idea that the offense is going to turn around is based on strictly on the other team at this point, because the Bears
right.
haven't shown you any sign of being able to dig out of this. You know, they went out to Philadelphia and were terrible, and that Eagles defense has a couple of nice players on it, but hasn't played particularly great football this season. So everything's sort of based on, well, the opponent has done this against opponents such and such, and it's not based on, well, we've seen the Bears get a lot better on third down, we've seen them improve in this area, and we've seen them improve in that area. You know, they went from being inept in the red zone in the loss to the Chargers to not being able to do anything on first down. You know, they're failing in just critical areas offensively, and it's what's held them down in this losing streak.
All right, Bigsy, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad. See you Sunday.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago Tribune, and he's
wow.
Doesn't have a lot of faith.
No, if he's right, if you're right, five in a row, five losses in a row.
Well, I think it wasn't just me and Brad.
No, I'm just saying you, Brad. I'm just saying you guys.
Who else?
You guys are the only two.
But that's
no.
who we care about.
People.
That's who we care about.
We only care about me and Brad.
Well, that's a good place to start with.
Yes.
Who's going to win a Bears game?
All right. Well, we'll talk about it. 312-644-6767. Why do you have faith in this team right now? And if it's anything other than, well, they're playing the Lions, then I'd love to know what it is. Yeah. I don't think it's good enough.
Right.
I'd like to know what it is. Mully and Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A 4-game losing streak isn't easy. And especially when you have a separation of two sides with the offense, you know, struggling and a defense playing really well. You know, I've been a part of those without 4-game losing streaks where that's happened, whether it's on the sideline or whether it's in the locker room. We haven't had any of that, and that's a credit to our players for being so strong, and they care about one another. They want it more than anybody, and you keep going back to that silver lining. Somewhere there's a why, and when we figure that one out, it makes it so much sweeter in the end. It's hard now because we want it now, but there's somewhere we got to hopefully get that why part.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Come on out and see us. We are at 1519 West Madison Street. We're at the Dunkin', and Chicago, of course, runs on Dunkin'. I got to tell you, when I hear him say that, when I hear him bragging about how the team hasn't turned on itself while everything's going wrong.
And no mutiny.
There's got to be a why,
yeah.
And we're going to figure out what the why is. The
right.
Why is you. Okay? You're the why. Here's what the reality of the NFL is, David. You are either the hitter or the hitee, the person hit. You are either on the attack or you are the attacked. And the Bears don't seem to be on the attack anymore. They can't seemingly do it on offense, and they've stopped doing it on defense. Maybe because of the offense. And I thought it was interesting that Chuck Pagano yesterday tried to take the blame for the defense, saying that they can't get off the field because he's putting people in bad spots.
Yeah, I think that's just coach speak, don't
that's,
you?
I don't see it. I don't see that.
Come forward and take responsibility because he thinks he should. I mean, we talked to Bill Cowher yesterday, Mully, Zach and I did, and he suggested that, you know, missing Vic Fangio was a thing. You wonder how much momentum that will get if they lose a fifth straight game, and this is because Matthew Stafford torched the Bears' defense, which isn't, frankly, elite without Akeem Hicks. It's not a great defense anymore. It was, and it still is above average, and it still is good enough for you to win a football game and to beat the Lions on Sunday. But when you're talking about some of these things, I think that you're seeing Pagano step forward. You're seeing Nagy trying to stave off the sort of mutiny that
he's trying
to
cover for everyone. That's what he's trying to do.
Right.
But let me ask you something. If you're right, if Akeem Hicks takes them from an elite defense to just a very good defense, mm-hmm. what happens if Eddie Goldman can't play?
Well, that's a problem. That's a real problem. And he's an underrated force inside there because he's a guy that you quietly count on every single Sunday to clog the run. If the Lions can run the football, the Bears are going to be in a world of hurt because that's the one thing you can't let them do. The only shot you have against a quarterback playing as well as Stafford is to make that offense one-dimensional so you can be aggressive and you can be in the attack mode. If the Bears are in timid mode, if they are passive the way that they have been too often lately on both sides of the football, that's going to be a problem on Sunday because you have to come after Stafford. You've got to be high-risk, high-reward approach because what else are you going to do? If you sit back and wait for a gunslinger to beat you, he's going to get you. He's going to get you.
And I would like someone, no one has taken the bait, 312-644-6767. No one has an answer to this question, but what is it that the Bears do well with their offense? What do they do well?
Still waiting for an answer all week. All week from Matt Nagy, from a player, from a caller, from anybody. What does this offense do well? And I have a question for you. So, if you think that they are capable of moving the football, if you still believe in Mitch Trubisky, they must because they're starting him. Does Cody Whitehair playing center affect the quarterback in that? Because you heard from him after the game. Remember when the Eagles overloaded one side of the football and they had an unscouted look and they weren't ready for that? Quarterback's got to be ready for that, right? Or you've got to be able to adjust to that. You've got to trust your center. James Daniels not telling Mitch Trubisky anything he doesn't know. Cody Whitehair might. And I think that may be something that they're looking to as well in making this move. Maybe the center can help the quarterback get out of his own way.
Boy, I got to tell you, I mean, it seems if that's what they're trying to do, that's beyond desperate.
Do you think that's possible?
I don't say it's impossible, but I think, David, my problem with this move is that I just assume it's being done to help Cowart. I just assume that you want an experienced, more experienced player next to him that can help hold his hand a little bit. And James Daniels played the other side, so he can go back there and do well. But the danger is, if you believe one guy is a better center than the other guy, and that's clearly why they made the move entering the season, then what happens, if anything, to the center quarterback exchange? What if there is an issue with that? Because the one thing that you can't afford at all is a giveaway. You can't afford to give the ball away at all because your margin for success is so infinitesimal.
Yes.
It's
razor thin.
It's razor thin.
Yes.
And if you have a couple of turnovers because of that,
then
that, David, would turn into, I don't even know what you'd say.
But in a way, though, you're returning Mitch to his comfort zone with this, because this is a guy, he's got, you know, and this is what, but I understand what you're saying, because it's a conventional way to look at a offensive line move, because you're helping the guy on the offensive line with the least amount of experience. Well, I'm just saying that maybe you have to help the quarterback first, because he's been a bigger liability. And you put him back in a position where he's been comfortable with Whitehair throughout the course of his career. And this is going to be his 35th start. And most of those have come with Whitehair at center.
But think about this, David. You know, when we talk about offensive line play, we always say the same thing, which is you don't make two moves to correct one problem, right? So if someone goes down, you try not to make two moves, move a guy outside, and then have to move a guy inside. One of the great things you need in offensive line play is continuity.
Yes.
You need choreographed. You need everyone to be kicking in the same direction. And now you're making two more moves after the move you had to make with the injury to Kyle Long. So you're effectively coming at a team with three different players, even though they're guys that have played, two of them.
And you wouldn't want to do it in preseason. You wouldn't want to do it during OTAs. But you, in the midst of a four-game losing streak, you might want to do whatever you think is going to change the way things are going. You can't continue to do things the same way with the same people in the same spots and expect different results. That's just why the Bears are in this mode. It's almost like a desperate move, because it is a desperate time.
Does it also indicate that they came into the season not knowing what they had, not understanding what problems they had created by making moves to begin with? See,
I think it also, that's a really good way to put it. I also think it may be, you could say, they came into the season making assumptions they really had no right to make.
Or guys
who they were willing to move.
Does this go all back to your quarterback and the fact that he's not executing? I mean, would we be talking about guard center position changes if Trubisky was playing well?
But,
I mean, I don't think so.
And then it also raises the question, is the offensive line play somehow affecting the quarterback? Because the offensive line's been a disappointment this year.
For sure.
Without question, I think the offensive line's inability to move the pile, to establish the run, is a big problem with Mitch.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. It is always a delight to talk to our guy, Joe Fortenbaugh. He, of course, is our man in Vegas by way of the Bay Area. It's complicated. Let's not get into it. But he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Morning, Joe.
Gentlemen, I got to tell you, every week this year, we've been doing NFL picks, we've been doing college picks, and we talk about the Bears. I always try to come up with an angle, whether I like Chicago, whether I don't like Chicago, whether it's an over and under, but generally it's just a discussion. There may not be a pick. I got to tell you, it's not to hype everybody up. I like the Bears this week. I think this is a good situation for Chicago. How are you guys feeling?
You did watch the Eagles game, Joe, right? Okay, you're still picking the Bears.
I did. But that matchup was not a good matchup for Chicago. We talked about this last week. The one weakness for Philadelphia, the key weakness for the Philadelphia Eagles, is that secondary. They have a very poor pass rush, but they have a very solid, very stout run defense. As a result, Chicago's big weakness at the quarterback position, they weren't able to take advantage of it. This week, the situation sets up far more favorably, in my opinion. It's the perfect opponent. The Lions are tied for 25th in opponent yards per play. They're 27th in scoring defense. But I want you to focus on these two stats, 27th against the run and 27th in sacks. If they can't defend the run, that lets the Bears get the ball into the hands of David Montgomery. It lets them control the clock. It lets them keep the defense off the field. The Bear defense has been on the field far too often over these last 3 to 4 weeks, far too often. So you're able to run the ball. The Lion pass rush is minimal at best. They're 27th in sacks. If Mitch isn't facing a serious pass rush and you're able to run the ball, plus you throw out a spread of Chicago -2.5, I think a lot of people have turned on the Bears. I think this is the opportunity where you get a buy low point. Well, who are the Lions? Are the Lions that good? Are the Lions super functional? Like, there's no way on a neutral field this should be a pick 'em with that Bears defense. And the fact that they're not laying the full 3 at Soldier Field is an insult, considering the Bears are 8-1 against the spread last 9 games against divisional opponents. It may not be a great season. I love the matchup against the Lions on Sunday.
To me, it's weakness on weakness. The Bears' weak offense against the weak defense of the Lions. So if I had any faith in the Bears being able to take advantage of that, then I'd be with you. But, Joe, I decided a few weeks ago that I would pick them again against the Giants. And until then, I can't do it. I just won't do it. They haven't shown me anything. And maybe I'm too close to it. I'm like, you know, can't see the forest for the trees, but the forest isn't a very pretty place to be these days, sadly.
Good God, what have I walked into here? The Bulls, Bulls just won the other night. It should be excitement. Yeah. The Bulls have won. David Ross is managing the Cubs. Life is good, boys. Life is good.
I don't know. Well, come to town for a little while. There's nothing good about Chicago sports lately. I would pick them outright in M, but the number would be too close for me to bet it. It just, you don't have any faith that they're going to be able to, you know, make it worth your while.
And the only thing you know is true is that there are going to be a lot of boo birds out on Sunday, and the Bears are going to hear them. If it doesn't work immediately, the crowd will turn on them quickly.
You turn the TVs off in Chicago. You turn the fans off. You focus, Mitchell Trubisky. This is your game. This has got to be the game where you can lean on the rushing attack. If you're Matt Nagy, you've got to be thinking, the Lions can't stop the run. We can get something going here. If you can find a way to inspire the defense just a little bit, I do believe they will rise up and get that win. I do. But you got to give them something. Last week against Chicago or against Philadelphia, they dug such a hole, it was too much to come back from. I'm telling you, this is the opponent. Boys, it's the Lions. If we're talking about the Vikings or the Packers, it's one thing. It's the Lions. The Lions aren't exactly coming in with the best resume over their existence. How about that? Their entire existence. I don't remember them doing anything since Barry Sanders. And last I checked, Barry Sanders ain't walking through that door.
All right. That's Sunday, Joe. What about Saturday? It's the best college football Saturday of the season so far.
All right. Let's start with this. Last week, very solid with the NFL picks, but we always have to be honest here. I'm not going to come on and try to fake anyone at anything. The college picks have been very poor this season. So if you want to fade Fortinball, a.k.a. Fadenball, you go right ahead. You go right ahead and do it. I'm not going to take it personally. The picks have been very shaky. Here's what we're thinking. 5 games that I like. In no particular order, I am going to lay the big number with Clemson -32.5 at NC State. NC State has been getting blown out lately, but the key here is the fact that Clemson was fifth in the initial college football playoff rankings that just came out. Now, I thought that was brilliant on behalf of the committee to do that. Ohio State 1, LSU 2, that gives you a talking point. Clemson 5 gives you a talking point. It gets people riled up. But there is a case to be made that the resume hasn't been that strong this year. This is what young kids need is motivation, right? It's all going to sort itself out. Bama, LSU, someone's got to lose. Ohio State, Penn State play, someone's got to lose. Clemson runs the table they're in. But this is how you motivate kids, and I think you're going to get an awesome effort out of Clemson at NC State Saturday night. And they've quietly been putting big numbers on people while not allowing any points. The defense is coming around big. So I'm going to lay that big number there. I think this is the motivating game Dabo Swinney needed in order to get that team in gear, laying 32.5 with Clemson at NC State. Game number two, Boston College. I'm going to lay 2.5 with Boston College over Florida State. Florida State's a mess right now, as everyone knows. They just fired Willie Taggart. I got a feeling that's not going to go over real well in the locker room. It's going to be more – I don't see this as – what we saw from the Chargers against the Packers. Kind of like you fire Ken Whisenhunt, you rally around the troops, you're professionals, you're upset the guy got fired. I think with kids on a lost season at Florida State, you fire the head coach, they all start looking to pack it in. They're not going to go to a bowl game or anything like that. So I think they're done. Plus, Boston College, tons of motivation for this game. They've got 5 wins, so they need one more to get into a bowl game. But after this, they got to go to Notre Dame and to Pittsburgh. So this is the last home game. It's a great opportunity to get bowl eligible. Boston College minus 2.5 over Florida State. Game number 3. It pains me to do it. You know I'm a Penn State alumni. I'm going to take Minnesota plus 6.5 over the Nittany Lions. Very difficult to do. P.J. Fleck is someone we have talked about on this program going way back to his time at Western Michigan. He's a program builder. He did it at Western Michigan. He got him to a major bowl game. He came to Minnesota. It's taken a couple years, but that's a tough program to build up considering the conference he's in, and now he's got a very formidable team on his hands. Penn State has been solid, and they've overcome every spot they faced this year, but this is a very tough spot at Minnesota on a Saturday with the expectations now that you're a top 4 team. James Franklin, as good of a coach as he is, I think he's fantastic, but he tends to get a little passive in the second half of big games when he has a lead. You saw it against Michigan. We've seen it in the past against Ohio State. That's a lot of points. I don't know if Penn State loses this game outright, but I could see this game being neck and neck down to the wire. I'd love to have the touchdown in my pocket. It's not available right now. I'll take Minnesota plus 6.5. Game number 4, I'm going to lay 3 with Stanford on the road. Stanford's been terrible, but quietly, after everyone forgot about them, they've started to turn the corner. They've won 3 of 4. They need 2 more wins to get bowl eligible. They're at Colorado, who's been a mess, and KJ Costello is back at quarterback. This gives them a much, much better chance of putting together some consistent drives than what they've been doing in the past. And they were holding it down without Costello. So he's back now. Colorado had that messy loss to USC. We're going to lay 3 with Stanford at Colorado. Game number 4, I have to bet it. I've told you before about being smart, picking your spots. It's Bama-LSU. You have to bet this game. I'm not telling you you actually have to bet it, but for me, being a true degenerate, I have to bet this game. I have to have action. Here's the thought. I've loved what LSU has done this year, and the line's currently Alabama minus 6. But this is that rare moment, and we see it every year in pro football, and we'll see it in college, the rare moment where the public loves the underdog, where everyone – the public always loves betting favorites. Patriots over Ravens, Packers over Chargers. They love overs, and they love favorites. This is the one moment where the public's lining up. It's like 60-some percent of the tickets are on LSU. Everybody loves Joe Burrow. Everyone's telling me Alabama is overrated. Everyone's telling me Alabama doesn't look that solid this year. And I keep scratching my head, and I'm thinking, if Alabama is a contrarian play, I'm going to go ahead and be a contrarian and take Alabama. I will lay the 6 with the Tide. Saban has had a great history against LSU, a great history against Ed Orgeron. Remember, he's still off that Clemson loss last year. He always bounces back big, coming off a non-championship season. Love what LSU has done. I think the moment becomes too big. I'm going to lay it with Bama. I think they're undervalued. So those are the 5 college plays. Lay the 32.5 with Clemson over NC State. Lay 2.5 with Boston College over FSU. Take 6.5 with Minnesota over Penn State. Lay 3 with Stanford over Colorado. Lay the 6 with Bama over LSU.
All right, so what about the NFL?
All right, the Bears are one of the 5 plays I'm making this weekend. I am laying the 2.5, as we talked about earlier. I'm going to take 3 with Buffalo at Cleveland. Now, it's a risky proposition betting the Bills sometimes. They're not exactly the most explosive of offenses, but they've been solid on the road this year. 3-0 straight up, 3-0 against the spread. They're a top five team in terms of opponent yards per play. Defense has been playing solid. They're well coached. They're in position to make a run at the playoffs. They're pretty well disciplined. Meanwhile, Cleveland is anything but disciplined. Three stats I use to help determine discipline, and it's not exact science, but it's penalties, it's turnovers, and it's third down conversions. I think those are three avenues where disciplined teams succeed and undisciplined teams do not. And the Browns are at the bottom of the heap in the NFL in terms of turnovers, in terms of penalties, they're dead last, and third down conversions, they're bottom three or bottom five. I don't trust them to play well in this game. I think they're an overvalued football team. They're poorly coached. It's like, it's going to be ugly. I don't think you're going to want to watch this game, but give me Buffalo plus the three. Game number two, this one's even uglier. Miami plus 11.5 against the Colts. Miami plus 11.5. That's going to be very dangerous taking the Dolphins, but they've covered the number, I believe, in four straight, and they just got their first win of the season against the Jets. That doesn't mean something's cooking here, but look at this. Indianapolis, eight games this season. All eight games decided by one score, whether it's a win, whether it's a loss, every single Colts game has been decided by seven or fewer points. Jacoby Brissett has the contusion on his knee. T.Y. Hilton missed practice a couple days ago. I don't know if he's going to play. It's a well-coached Colts team, but they don't blow anyone out, and they don't get blown out. And Ryan Fitzpatrick gives the Dolphins a chance to contend. 11.5, not saying they win, but I like all those points in my pocket. That's game number two. Game number three, similar situation. Give me the Steelers plus the 3.5 against the Rams. This isn't the year for the Rams. Jared Goff has his second worst completion percentage dating back to his rookie season when Jeff Fisher was the head coach. He's been off. Brandon Cooks is out. They can't run the football. This offense, just like Dallas, they run the offense through the running back position. And if they can't get the ground game going consistently, the thing isn't nearly as dangerous. And you're seeing that this season. Gurley's been banged up. I don't even think they're in the top 20 in rushing this year. Meanwhile, the Steelers have been very, very good. Three straight home games, I believe it is, so they haven't had to deal with a lot of travel. They're covering spreads. They've got a very sound defense. Tomlin, in the role of underdog, I believe going back to the start of last season, they're like 8-1 against the spread as an underdog. They're 5-4 in those games outright. They played very well as a dog. Give me the points at home with the Steelers. And then the final game, Sunday Night Football, I'll take Minnesota plus 3 in a bounce-back spot against the Cowboys. Cowboys have looked very good against bad teams. They've looked questionable against good teams. The only team they've beaten with a winning record is Philadelphia, and Philly's iffy. They're in, they're out. They were terrible in that game on Sunday night. Meanwhile, the Cowboys played the Saints. They lost. They played a big game against, I can't remember who the second team was off the top of my head, but the third loss was against the Jets, which was humiliating. They're on the short week. Amari Cooper's banged up. I like Minnesota in a bounce back. I hate getting behind Kirk Cousins in a big spot, but I do like Mike Zimmer. He's done a nice job of rallying his troops. You don't see the Vikings losing a lot of back-to-back games. So to recap the NFL picks, Bears minus 2.5, Bills plus 3, Dolphins plus 11.5, Steelers plus 3.5, Vikings plus 3. Go Bears.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
That's very kind of
you. Good stuff.
Thank you, Joe.
Have a great weekend. Love you. Good luck, Chicago. I'll talk to you next Friday.
That is our guy, Joe Fortmo.
Some surprising picks. I did not expect him to go win on Minnesota. And
well, especially as a Penn State grad.
Yeah, and the Dolphins' love confuses me a little bit, but going to see where that one takes him.
That was the one that you actually went like ramrod straight. Your head popped up like what? How dare you?
The Dolphins?
Yeah. Oh, well, boy. The Dolphins. They did win. They got a win.
They did.
I thought they might be able to go winless this year.
It's
which
just fist magic.
Seemed like the point of the exercise. All right. We've got Jeff Jodiak, the voice of the Bears, will join us next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.